Hello, my darling, and welcome to today's story time. We are reading Project Utopia, which I wrote back in 2006 when I was in university. Again, this story is quite dark, violent, and not really safe for work. But we will keep going. And now, on with our story time. Chapter 2. Samantha blinked at Frank, her mind preoccupied with what had happened to Ryan, finding it hard to concentrate on what the electrical engineer was saying. He'd been so adamant, waiting up for her in her office, that she had diligently decided to follow, and now she found herself down in the room that housed all the main computers, including the one Frank and his team had built the Project Utopia program on. Samantha watched as Frank panned in on the United States, stopping his mouse above Idaho. "You move around like so," he explained, "to view the section of the world that you want to see. Eventually, everyone will have the biochip. But right now, only a few thousand have it here in Pendleton Hills, and a few of the surrounding medical testing communities." Samantha leaned forward. "So corporate really had been issuing the biochip ahead of schedule," she asked. "And this program can control them?" Frank smiled. "Oh yes." He clicked with the mouse and pulled up a menu. "See? Give medication, quarantine, arrest, fall asleep. The list goes on." He scratched his chin. "I felt a bit weird making these controls, because as you can see, you can literally control the implantees. But I had to make it to the specifications that Dr. Clements wanted." Samantha raised an eyebrow. Dr. Mark Clements was an old friend of hers, and was the right-hand man to the head of corporate, Dr. Jones. Mark and her husband had been friends since college, but she had met him later, after she and Charlie married. A smile ghosted her lips as she recalled his playful banter and boyish nature when he detailed the intricacies of picking up women to a particularly interested Charlie. But that was more than 2 years ago. Now, he came to dinner every few months to catch up, bringing a new girlfriend every time. Though his stories were far from the vicarious thrillers he used to tell, she still marveled at his ability to date so many beautiful women. She never knew why corporate always chose Mark's girls as originals, but invariably it happened. Every one of them now graced the halls of Intelli Inc. as lab assistants, or worked in the Pendleton Hills Hospital as doctors, nurses, and receptionists. All clones. Part of the One World Order was to establish healthcare for everyone in every state, no matter their financial status. Clones were able to provide excellent healthcare, as they didn't receive any sort of financial compensation, and they were not programmed to voice complaints. Though Samantha knew little about the actual cloning process, she knew that originals were always frozen in the cryo chamber for future use. They would make many versions of the same woman. The originals' families were always paid handsomely, and because they had volunteered to live in the research community of Pendleton Hills, where clones were manufactured, law decreed that anyone could be cloned at any time to provide for the greater good. "Mark defined the specifications for this program," she asked. Frank nodded. "Of course. Project Utopia was mostly his idea, though Dr. Jones has taken credit for everything. Really, this One World Order has opened up new avenues for men like Mark and Dr. Jones to act like gods." "What?" Samantha shook her head. "Mark isn't like that." Frank shrugged. "Just my opinion." He saw that she was uneasy, so he went back to explaining the Project Utopia program. "It's simple to direct the implantees, but when you make a choice, you must understand what it will mean. Click arrest, and they will lose control of their bodies and be forced to take the quickest route to jail and tried for their crimes. Click fall asleep, and they will literally drop to the ground in slumber." Samantha watched him work, suddenly concerned. "Frank, What if one of the implants went wrong? His voice lowered, and his eyes turned to hers. That's why I built in a little Easter egg that no one in corporate knows about. What does it do? He clicked through a few screens with his mouse, then pressed down several keys on the keyboard, bringing up a dialog box. If something goes wrong, I mean really wrong, then type this word into the box. Samantha eyed the word Franken scrawled onto a pink sticky note. What happens then? Frank grinned wickedly. Everyone with the biochip dies immediately. Chapter 3. Samantha gestured at the slide projected into the white wall of the conference room. Notice this area? She moved the pointer around the portion of the inflamed cell. The biochip, once implanted, became something akin to a mutating virus that could infect the host. Though the biochip was designed to enable an exacting control of the implantee's emotional cortex via electronic means, its mutation could change the nature of the human implantee in unpredictable ways. Heads all around the room bobbed up and down in acknowledgement. The men of corporate had been nodding during her entire presentation, acting as though they already knew everything she was saying. She got the impression that they didn't find her insights interesting or even worth listening to. A few of the men whispered amongst themselves, only to turn their disinterested eyes back on her. She kept her pointer in position, studying the men who sat before her. Corporate was comprised of 52 men, one from every major state in the United States. These were powerful men who rarely deigned to come down from their high offices to meet with the people they employed. One of the men, the only one in the room who actually took notes, was Mark Clements. But he was eyeing her with a strange lust in his eyes. This made her uncomfortable. She glanced at him as he shifted in his chair. Idly, she wondered if he was dating a potential original right now. A waft of air from the conditioner blew through her hair, sending a shiver of goosebumps down her arms. It was especially cold in the conference room, said to inspire fear in the presenter. She used this technique herself when meeting with underlings to make them think her in charge on a more visceral level. They always shook and skittered about the room when presenting to her. She made herself swallow as she fumbled with her pointer. There was no question as to who was in charge here. With emphasis, she rapped the slide, indicating the infected cell. This is proof that the biochip mutates in the host after implantation. Either reaction will occur. The host nature will change to be extremely aggressive or extremely docile. There is no way to predict which, but this transformation will always happen. She looked up to see Mark's eyes looking down her body, his gaze resting a moment on her breasts. Her brows creased together as she self-consciously crossed her arms. She cleared her throat, bringing Mark's gaze back to her eyes. "My results are conclusive," she continued. "Without additional modifications to the biochip before implantation, the host will suffer from its evolution." She unfolded her arms as she paced before the table. "If we implant before I'm allowed to make the proper conversions, the biochip will control the host in ways not governable by the Project Utopia program. The implantee will become something like a shell of themselves. They may not even act entirely human. If we implant the way things are, humanity will be nothing more than a fleeting memory. And that is not the plan I signed up for." An older man regarded her with a look that made her swallow, then turned to whisper to Dr. Jones, who was seated beside him. His mouth affected a deep frown as he whispered something back. Dark eyes, hooded by thick, bushy eyebrows, glared up at her with disdain. "Foolish assumptions," he said. "That's all. You have offered no proof except simple slides produced by some office aide. Do you have anything of true importance to add? Samantha whirled incredulously to glance at her presentation. She thought her observations clear and concise. With all due respect, sir, haven't you heard my conclusions? I did this research myself and I guarantee the results completely. Samantha, Mark spoke loudly, standing as he stacked his papers in a neat pile before himself. That will be all for today. We'll have more important matters to attend to than assumptions, as Dr. Jones has made clear. What? She said, but I said, that's enough, Sam. Mark cleared his throat, his eyes squinting as his gaze went from her shaking hands to her wide eyes. His glare kept her mouth closed. He motioned in annoyance to the men seated around the table. Let's go, gentlemen. Samantha stood dumbly before her presentation. The research she had worked so hard to prepare wasted before these powerful men. Shaking silently, she held in her tears until the last man had gathered up his papers and left the room. At the very least, she hadn't let them see her cry. She felt a small joy in that. She collected her papers and angrily removed the jump drive from the company laptop, dropping it into her jacket pocket. As she strode down the hall to her office, she wondered if she should just gather her things and walk out of Intelli Inc. for good. They didn't value her opinion once she had given them what they wanted. They only wanted their stupid chip. Nothing else mattered after that, not even the consequences. Mark Clements waited in Samantha's office, sitting in her chair, his legs swung arrogantly up on her desk. His eyes followed her as she came in. She glared at him. What are you doing here? He waved her question away, his legs sliding off the desk. Shut the door, Sam. She rolled her eyes, shutting the door behind her. I don't care what you have to say, Mark, but they have no idea. Listen for a moment, please. He glanced around as if someone else were nearby. His eyes held more compassion than before. Things are happening around here, he said. Things that you cannot even fathom. Mark, I... Just listen, he snapped. He rubbed his hands nervously on his pant legs. Stunned, she sat in the chair opposite his when he motioned at her, a bit indignant that he was acting as if this was his office. His eyes kept wandering to the door behind her. I'm listening, she said quietly, gesturing for him to continue. She felt she should be screaming at him for his betrayal in the conference room, but his nervousness confused her enough to let him speak first. Mark was never nervous. Mark seemed to inwardly shake himself and then fixed his face in a stern expression. Corporate knows what will happen with the biochip, Sam. We've known from the beginning. It was part of the plan. The only way the new world can work is if we have a means now to monitor and control things. Don't play stupid and get in the way here, Sam. Settling back into her leather chair, Mark sighed and clasped his hands upon his lap. Anyway, that's not why I came to you. As I'm sure you've noticed, Ryan has been taken. He's frozen now, and they've used him as an original. A knock came at the door. Dr. Hargrove called a man's voice. I've been instructed to check your radio signal. Can I come in? Mark leaned forward, his eyes locked on hers. Stay out of this for now, Sam. He looked to the door. His voice had a harsh edge. Trust me, for now, just stay out of this. He cleared his throat, smoothing wrinkles from his khaki pants as he stood. Come on in, Frank. Samantha frowned, standing as he walked around her desk. Mark, wait. Frank lumbered in, carrying a large leather bag of tools. Tools clacked together inside. He dropped his bag heavily on the floor near her desk. Be up to your office before 5 to check your signals, Dr. Clements. Mark mumbled his assent, pausing at the doorframe. You're needed down in the lab for the examinations and implants, Samantha. He waited until Samantha nodded before leaving, closing the door behind him. Samantha wearily flicked her hair from her shoulder as Frank pulled an electronic gauge from his belt. Things were happening too fast. Why would Ryan have been taken? She tried to work it out in her mind, but the only thing she could come up with was that perhaps he had been about to compromise Project Utopia. If that was true, then she might be next. And this, my darling, ends our story time for today. As always, I hope that you have very sweet and creepy dreams. Good night.